Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How many children in the foster care system are awaiting adoption? How many parents are longing to adopt a child? Kelly Rosati is the Vice President of Community Outreach at Focus on the Family, where she serves as the ministry spokesperson on child advocacy issues. She oversees the Adoption and Orphan Care Initiative, the Sanctity of Human Life Department, Option Ultrasound, and Community Care Efforts. Prior to joining Focus, she served for 10 years as the Executive Director of Hawaii Family Forum, where she advocated for Hawaii's children and families in the legislature and the media. An advocate. Don't you appreciate an advocate? Someone standing for you, someone standing by your side. Did you know that Christ is our advocate? You know that He is standing for you, standing by your side? You know that God loves you so much that He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins, dear friend. That Christ shed His precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And the living Christ today calls you to Himself. Wherever you are, whatever you might be facing, whatever challenge it might be, however daunting your life may seem at this time, come to Christ, Jesus Christ. Yes, He's calling you, dear one. Would you come? Kelly Rosati received her undergraduate degree from Marquette University and graduated cum laude from the University of Nebraska College of Law. Kelly and her husband live with their four children in Monument, Colorado. Kelly, welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's great to be with you. Aloha.
Kelly, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Wisconsin, and as you said, went to law school in Nebraska, met my husband, and then he was active duty Air Force, which is what brought us to the beautiful, wonderful state of Hawaii, where we lived for 10 years, and where the Lord brought us our four local children that we adopted from foster care, and so we have a very, very special connection and love Hawaii and its people.
Who influenced you most, Kelly, there in your growing up years?
Boy, my growing up years. I think probably for me, my friends influenced me the most. I don't know that I had necessarily the most idyllic situation. So for me, it was probably my friends.
In what way?
Well, I really like to have fun, and I am social, and I love to be with my friends, and I think even then, kind of the desire for what it looks like to live in an authentic community was probably part of what was coming out in just kind of a young, aimless, wild, young girl who liked to have fun, and so, yeah.
How did you become a Christian?
Well, I came to Christ in third grade, and for a couple years, went to Awana and memorized some scripture, and then when I hit junior high, I was kind of like, this doesn't really make any sense, I don't really have any friends that believe this, just didn't really connect, what I would hear at church just didn't really connect to regular life as I knew it. I wasn't in a home where Christianity was practiced. And so from junior high until my senior year of college, I was just completely in the world. And I remember my senior year of college, somebody asked me, like, do you really believe that stuff? Because even though I was wild and not walking with the Lord, I did still believe the core truths of the gospel, and somebody kind of laughed and said, "Do you really believe that?" And I remember very distinctly walking down the sidewalk at Marquette University and really thinking hard about my answer, and I was like, "Yeah, I really do believe that." And it was shortly thereafter that I just felt the Lord draw me back to Himself again. This just seemed completely crazy to me at the time because, you know, I lived in bars. I was just had a lot of fun, and I was like, "What am I going to do? What am I going to do now? Like, what do I do?" So that's when the Lord kind of drew me back to Himself and just tried to start walking that out and getting to know Him a little bit more, and got connected in with a good church, thankfully, out in Nebraska where I was in law school, and then met my husband, and we just wanted to serve the Lord. So,
was he a Christian at that time when you met him?
You know, when I met him, I would say he was what we often call in evangelical circles, right, a backslidden believer. I think he definitely was a believer, but not really living like it, and we just sort of had a conversation about fact that we both knew where we wanted to end up, sort of who we wanted to be, and that we weren't really on that right path. And I remember at the time at least being kind of far enough along to know that I wanted to get there with the Lord so that I could say to Him, "That's where I'm headed. If you're not interested, I'm not interested." And He was. And now it's 25 years later this summer.
Congratulations. Wonderful.
Kelly, what difference would you say Christ has made in your life?
He's just everything. He's everything. I think every angst that we have in life, every heartache, one of my favorite verses of Scripture is the fact that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and He saves those crushed in spirit. And I think we have really come to learn that in a really deep, intimate way that we had no idea about before, as we've entered into brokenness and suffering with our children who have very special needs and mental illness and brokenness and trauma. And it's been a journey that's been more difficult than we could have ever fathomed. I mean, ever fathomed. And it's been messy and nothing fairy tale-ish at all. And through it all, we've all been able to hang on to the reality that we do know God is with us, that He is for us, that He loves us, and really tried to let the truths of those things penetrate even as there's everything kind of circumstantially is falling apart. And so, sure doesn't make everything perfect. You don't, at least it's not been my experience, that, you know, there aren't obviously still struggles of all kinds. But God is kind. He's full of mercy. And I just feel like there's really no one in the world who couldn't use a little more love and mercy and grace and kindness. And so if anyone doesn't know our Jesus who offers all of that, I hope they would reach out.
Kelly, remind me of the ages of your children now.
Yeah, now they're 16, 14, 13, and 11.
Oh, my goodness.
Hard to believe, isn't it?
Where did the time go? Thank
yes,
you.
And our kids in our family were Korean, Hawaiian, Filipino, Chinese, Vietnamese, Micronesian, Italian, and Irish. So we're all mixed up, as we say in Hawaii, right?
I love it.
That sounds like a mixed plate.
Yeah, mixed plate.
Well, Kelly, the Lord has certainly done a marvelous work in you and through you. And how did the Lord lead you to focus?
Well, having been in Hawaii with Hawaii Family Forum for 10 years, Hawaii Family Forum was associated with Focus on the Family. So I had connections in and with Focus for all of those years, and it was actually as a part of Focus coming to Hawaii to do a drug-proofing your kids seminar that I met some of the leadership here, and it was also the same time that we were just realizing, okay, the Lord has given us four kids now, not two, and Hawaii is you all know better than anyone, is very expensive, and it seemed kind of prohibitive for us to stay. And so it was kind of the confluence of events. They offered me a role out here, and it was time for us to head somewhere a little bit less expensive, and so here we landed.
Mm. Well, when you talk about expensive living or high cost of living, there are listeners that are, their hearts are palpitating with resonance because of their experiences as well. They know
what you mean. Yes, unbelievable. And the traffic's unbelievable, too.
Oh, honey.
Oh!
That was when you left. Imagine it today. It's amazing.
I can't.
People might start having twitches if they're driving or listening just out of a nervous reaction for what we're talking about.
Yeah, but I learned so much in Hawaii, and God taught me so much, and I love explaining to my friends in Hawaii, my friends here on the mainland, about how in Hawaii, ohana is so important, and just the neat things, like I will say, you just never think about having a party and telling people not to bring their kids. You just don't do that in Hawaii. And what a blessing it was to get to be down at the legislature advocating for children and families with my kids in the stroller with me. Where else could that happen? And so I love Hawaii and how Hawaii loves family.
Well, we'll talk about your work as an advocate and even your desire to go to law school and how the Lord used that to prepare you for the work that you're doing. Kelly Rosati, Kelly speaks on topics of sanctity of human life and adoption and orphan care. She serves on the board of directors for the National March for Life. And she's been featured in various media outlets, including the Wall Street Journal, the Denver Post, New York Daily News, and Christianity Today. Hey, even the Honolulu Star Bulletin. Of course, numerous radio stations throughout the country. Kelly Rosati joining us today from Denver, Colorado. It's a blessing to have you listening to us and joining us. We believe the Lord has a message for you today, a message of encouragement, a message of hope, the love of God. You'll feel it from her heart. Yes, you can. And when we come back, she'll share more. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling,
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Well, what do you do? What do you do when God gives you a certain capacity, a capacity of mind, a capacity of intellect? How do you use that? Well, law school may be an option, and for certain people like Kelly Rosati, the Lord has used that to prepare her for a lifelong work of advocacy for people who don't have much support. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer, my co-host, and Kelly Rosati joining us from Colorado. You can find out more, of course, about this program at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Get this program in its entirety. Perhaps you're tuning in right now. Get the whole thing at thegoodlifehawaii.com. And to find out more about Kelly Rosati, and Focus on the Family, focusonthefamily.com. Kelly, why did you choose to go to law school?
Well, I always knew since I was in third grade that I wanted to be a lawyer. I think I was always probably kind of a good arguer and always seemed to have a lot of words as a little girl. And honestly, then what happened was I got to the end of my undergraduate time, and I actually had met a guy, and I thought we were going to get married, and then that broke off, and I was devastated. I really was devastated. I was so heartbroken. And I really kind of just went on to law school as a default because I always had planned to do that my entire life. Hmm. And so off I went. And I really think it was just always God's plan. I think it's probably a little odd to feel like you're going to go to law school since you're in third grade. And so off I went. And it was as a part of being in law school that I first met folks from Christian Legal Society who were working on advocacy in the legislature on behalf of families and life. And I remember the first time I was going to testify as a law student before the Nebraska legislature. And I was so nervous when I first decided I was going to do it. I think I lost an entire night of sleep. And then by the time the day came, I loved it, and I got bit by the bug. And so I became a lobbyist after law school. I worked for a couple state legislators in two different states, and then ended up being an advocate working in the health insurance arena. And it was through that work that I learned about how to be a lobbyist and how to make relationships with legislators and have the opportunity to present your case about what was good or not good for families and why, and how to make that case in a way, hopefully, that was compelling to them. But I'll tell you what God really taught me in Hawaii that I am forever grateful for, and that is that even as an advocate who is fighting for those with no voice, who is passionate about what we're doing and how it's grounded in the scripture and its truth and all of those things, are the case, but boy, what God taught me in Hawaii was not to open our mouths if we do not first love, and that as believers, we are called to love Him and to love people, and that not only was, and that I was free to love those with whom we disagreed, and not only was I free, it was what God expected of me, and it was how we were supposed to do it. But I think back in the day of the old culture wars, they just developed a very unhealthy sense of us, them, and they're the enemy, and it just wasn't the full reality of what God had for people who were to be an advocate, whether it was for preborn kids or for our elderly neighbors or for the trafficking victim or for the orphan. And that is just that as we went and did this work that the Lord called us to do, we were to do it in love, and we were to be ambassadors of His love to everyone we encountered, including those that were on the other side of all the issues. And that's what He taught me in Hawaii, and I'm so thankful for it.
Kelly, have you seen a difference in the way people have responded to you, even in terms of your agenda, how things have been advanced in terms of your program because of that understanding, that enlightened way of treating people.
I mean, I hope so. I mean, we had some pretty amazing things happen in Hawaii. We raised the age of consent from the lowest in the nation, age 14, up to 16, despite some very, very strong objection. And we're able to make accord on issues that could tend to be very divisive and able to help stop things from passing into law that would have been harmful for families. But I hope more than that, people were able to see Jesus in us as we went about mm-hmm. the work that we did. I will tell you then that spirit was we came back, as I came back to Colorado, and here at Focus on the Family, we developed a program called Wait No More, mm-hmm. which is a foster care adoption program where we actually go out and partner with state government, local government, child welfare officials, adoption agencies, churches, and we all work together on behalf of the kids in our community who are modern-day orphans trapped in foster care and awaiting adoption. And I think it's that spirit of being able to work together on a common goal, even if you disagree about other things, and how powerful that can be when you are all pulling in the same direction on behalf of kids without a voice, just how powerful that can be. And so we started Wait No More back in 2008, and we've had more than 3,000 families since then in more than 30 events in 20 different states that have come forward to say, we are going to begin that adoption process from foster care. We heard about the needs of teenagers, of sibling groups, of kids with special needs, of these modern-day orphans that, honestly, the world describes as unadoptable. And we've said, no, we see with God's eyes mm-hmm. that every one of these kids is made in his image and that he has a plan for them and that he's a father to the fatherless and he sets the lonely in families. And we're going to be those families into which he sets these lonely kids. And so it's been so exciting to see what God has done. This program, Wait No More, that we have here at Focus, was actually recognized by the Obama White House as a national best practice in foster care adoption, and we participated in the White House celebration of National Adoption Month. Now, you talk about coming together of wow. folks that don't agree to be able to recognize where there's good being done. It reminded me of that verse that says they will recognize the good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And I've testified in Congress about this program. Because I think that when you're just willing to go in and serve in the name of Jesus with love, those that are trying to do good on behalf of orphans, people take notice regardless of their ideological or their mm-hmm. political perspective, mm-hmm. and they say that's something we can get behind. So it's been a true honor to be a part of this program, but I just have to say that the spirit of it and the collaborative nature of it was born in Hawaii. Back when we worked a program there similar called Families for Waiting Keiki through an organization called Hope Inc. and Hawaii Family Forum. And so I just think, wow, look what God has done on behalf of so many kids. And mm-hmm. it's all in part because of those lessons learned in Hawaii.
Well, and it's such an important, powerful message to our listeners of love, Kelly, unconditional love. And it's just a beautiful, important message for us to all hear for all circumstances in life.
Yeah.
Love. Love first.
How many children are there in the foster care system awaiting adoption?
There are more than 100,000 kids that are right now, as we're talking, waiting for adoptive families. And as I just mentioned, you know, they tend to be these kids that really most people don't want. And if I can be really blunt and honest, most Christians don't want either. They're kids with tough issues. They're kids that need us to run to the mess, that are interested not in fixing their behaviors, but of loving them and helping them open their hearts to the Lord who can get underneath and to the root of it all with his love and his mercy and his grace, and it takes patience it really takes supernatural strength and just a willingness to say, this thing, this Christianity that we're part of, this following Christ, is it's not a tidied up plastic, everything's yippy skippy religion. It is the God who's near to the brokenhearted, and being willing to let him kind of do that in us, even as he's doing it through us. And so there's 100,000 kids that need families, but listen to this, there's 300,000 churches in the U.S. with a mandate to care for orphans, and with an understanding of how God has adopted us into his family. Mm. And so the math on that is pretty easy. If just one Christian family in every third church would welcome home a modern-day orphan, there would be no more in the United States. What a testimony of the love of God would that be? But the kids are still waiting, and there's so much more that we could all do in order to meet those needs. But we can't do it alone. That's the thing. And not everybody's called to adopt, but those that are need their church families to come alongside them, to wrap around them, and to do this with them, because otherwise they are burning out. One of the biggest things happening in the adoption ministry world right now is an urgency around post-adoption support. And what I mean by that is, you know, a lot of times when families say, hey, I'm going to go do this adoption thing, God's calling us, everyone in the church is like, woohoo, yay, and jumping up and down and, you know, waving the pom-poms, and we're there for you. And lots of times people will even contribute funds if it's going to be an inter-country adoption. Adopting from foster care costs nothing, so money's not an issue. But what happens is you bring home the child and everyone thinks that's the end, when really it's just the beginning. And so for many kids that have had a traumatic past that we know empirically changes their brain, they're about to go through a journey, this whole family is, and they need their church family to do it with them. They need practical help. They need prayer. They need an understanding and loving heart about why it is that these kids just don't get whipped into shape and get fixed. And they need their churches desperately.
Kelly, we need to dive in deeper. We need to dive in deeper. I feel like we're there. We're going into the surface now. But when we come back, let's go further. Let's go further.
Okay.
Kelly Rosati, you know, she's not just talking about these things, saying, hey, you should do it. You should get involved. As a child advocate, she explored barriers to adoption and how to change them. And she and her husband, John, they adopted 4 children, 2 boys, 2 girls, through the foster care system. You talk about gravitas. Well, there is a depth, a formidable point of inspiration due to not only a message, but the application that the messenger is bringing. She's living the life. She's doing it. She's encouraging us to get involved. Stay with us. We'll be back with more from Kelly Rosati.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kari Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kari Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Jim Daly. Jim is the president of Focus on the Family. He writes this. He's talking about a book, Wait No More, One Family's Amazing Adoption. It's a story of John and Kelly Rosati. Jim Daly says, our friends Kelly and John have big hearts. Hearts that ache for kids who are often overlooked by society. And the miracle of adoption has turned their world upside down. Has it been an easy process? No. But as the Rosatis will tell you, good things are worth fighting for. Wait No More. It's a book by Kelly Rosati. You can get it at Amazon, on Amazon.com and other outlets. Kelly is in studio. Well, she's in studio through her coming to us by being in Colorado. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. It's a blessing that you're with us today. And you can find out more about Kelly's ministry, Focus on the Family, at focusonthefamily.com. Kelly, before our break, we were talking about really what some of the challenges are about adoption and how the church can get involved. On paper, it sounds like it can be done, but obviously we're not doing enough. What ideas do you have in terms of solving some of these problems?
Well, actually, one thing I think would probably get it done is if every single follower of Christ was simply willing to pray and ask God the following: do you want to use the blessing of our family on behalf of a child without one?
Mm.
And if it was that, just that simple, because you know God has plans for these kids. You know he has families for them. We just believe that they haven't been found yet. And I think for a lot of people, when they think about adoption, they think two things. They think infertility and they think expensive. And they're thinking about it in terms of their wants and desires. Like, well, I've never really thought about that, or we've never really wanted to do that, or we... when really it's all backwards, right? In the kingdom of, it's all upside down. And that's how the kingdom of God is. It really isn't about our wants and desires. It's about whether God wants to use what he's given us on behalf of those who don't have any of it. And at the core of that is family. And mm-hmm. so I really do think if believers all around this country prayed that, we would see a situation where we wouldn't have waiting kids in the United States of America. And, boy, that would be an exciting day. Adopting from foster care costs nothing. And so cost is not a barrier. Really, it's just, I guess, whether we're willing to be disrupted enough. You know, the difficulties associated oftentimes with adoption are not about adoption per se. They're about the fact that you're typically bringing in a child that has experienced a trauma history. Mm-hmm. And so through adoption, you're willing to take on and to walk with that child through the pain and the hurt and the sin, honestly, of what has happened to them in many cases, mm-hmm. and not always, but sometimes, and to say, I'm going to enter into that in the way that Jesus entered in with us. And so it isn't the nature of adoption that is the problem. It is one of the things God uses to help bring healing to the hurts that have occurred when that child has been abused or neglected or abandoned, which is often the situation with kids that are awaiting adoption, particularly in the foster care system.
You clearly identify the concerns, the questions, the areas that may hold someone back from moving forward on this. What has your experience been like, you and John?
Well, the truth of the matter is our experience has been more difficult than we could have ever imagined. And I often say I am so thankful that I did not have any idea how hard this would be when we started. And here's why. I would not have had the courage. Mm-hmm. I would not have said, I'm signing up for this. Mm-hmm. And that would have been a horrible tragedy. Because for all the difficulty, it is so worth it, and I would do it again and again and again because we love our kids so much and because God has plans for their lives, and they are worth it. You know, my kids have given me permission to talk about some of this, and I'm just going to do a little bit of that, but you know, some of our kids started life in the worst imaginable situation, born addicted to drugs, addicted to alcohol, homeless, with mental illness in their family, with birth moms who had schizophrenia. I mean, just kind of the things that you hear about on TV or really what seem like such extreme things, and they certainly did to us before we entered into this. But really, at the end of the day, they're just our kids. And for all of these kids, they're kids made in the image of God. And it is so much bigger and so much more true that they are His and that they, He has plans for them and they are good plans and that He wants them to know of His love and His healing and His wholeness. And so all of that truth from the Scripture and that His heart beats for them. You know, you cannot read the Bible without understanding the preferential spot in God's heart for the orphan and who He is vis-a-vis the orphan. And I think probably because it's such a picture of the spiritual reality that we are all orphaned at one time before we come home to Him through faith in Jesus Christ. And then we are orphans no more. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. And the adoption on earth is such a beautiful picture, I think, of that spiritual reality, that it does something powerful and transcendent. And that's why God has us called to it. A friend of mine used to say, and I always thought this was so powerful, it gave me chills, is that God has entrusted His orphan children to His bride. And that's the truth. And so if every believer could pray and ask God, what is my role in that? I think we'd see a lot more action, and there'd be a lot more kids coming home, and we'd see a lot more adoptive families supported and able to walk this journey in a way that has a watching world going, man, that's cool. What is that about? What in the world would drive those people to do that? Well, let me tell you, and what an opportunity to share the gospel.
Kelly, where on the whole are these 100,000 children?
They're all over the U.S., so Hawaii, at least when I was there many years ago, had hundreds and hundreds of kids that were waiting for adoptive families.
So are they in foster homes right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're in foster homes typically. And so what happens, Suzanne, is that they're invisible. You know, it used to be back in the olden days, if you will, right, when we had orphanages,
yes.
that you might drive past St. Joe's on the corner and you'd think, oh, those poor orphans, and that might remind you to pray for them
we
or whatever.
We had
it
one
is.
In Salem, Oregon.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes. But now we don't have orphanages in the United States. We have the foster care system, and so these kids are invisible. It's almost like they're cloaked because they're still in school and they're in the grocery store and they're in after school things. And they may have clothes and they may have shoes and they're getting their education, but they have such a lonely, deep hole in their heart because they don't belong anywhere permanently.
Yeah.
Can you imagine belonging nowhere and
no.
with no one?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the situation for these 100,000 kids. And so, again, with the 300,000 churches, we ought to be able to get these kids home.
Well, no.
So they can wait no more.
Exactly.
Kelly, what if someone listening, I'm thinking about it in two ways. Number one, an individual friend who's listening right now is thinking, maybe they've already been thinking about it, maybe talking with their spouse about this, and they want to take the next step. That's the first thing. What would you recommend for them? This is the second thing, and we can go into this later with time. A church, being one of the 300,000 churches, wants to be a part of this. So let's talk about it in those two ways. If someone wanted to take the next step, what would they do?
Well, first of all, they could go check out our website, which is icareaboutorphans.org. It's icareaboutorphans.org. And there are resources on there for churches about how to get involved and how to have an orphan ministry and how to do post-adoption support. We have a really neat resource called A Servant's Heart that is all about equipping the church to come around adoptive families. So one of the ways I like to say that is, you might not be called to adopt, but if you can cook, clean, pray, babysit, drive, you can do any of those things, and pretty much everybody can do some of those things. You can have a profound impact on the life of a former orphan and an adoptive family. And so don't ever underestimate the impact that you can make. Now, for the folks that want to go ahead and put their toe in the water and explore whether or not adoption may be for them, also on our website, there are state-specific links to agencies or child welfare entities in your area that can help through with that. In Hawaii, there was a wonderful Christian adoption agency that did foster care placement called Hope in the Name of Christ. I'm not sure that ministry is still going, but there are those that are involved, and there are nonprofits that are working with child welfare to be able to get those kids into families. You know, the process is what you hear about. It's a pain in the neck, so just get that through your head right now. One of the things we do at our Wait No More events is we describe for people what it's going to be like to go through this process. And we just say right up front, like, get used to the idea that you are not going to like this. When you have somebody in your house asking you really intrusive questions to do a home study, it doesn't feel good. Like, there are no two ways about that. Filling out a bunch of paperwork is a pain in the neck. Like, there's no two ways about it. But a lot of people think that we really need to reform the process and things need to get better and streamlined, and maybe there's some of that that's true, but I have a little bit of a different perspective, and that is this, having gone through it four times. God uses the process and the frustrations and the fear and the anxiety and the just all of it. He uses all of that to change us and to ready us for the kids that are coming home. And sort of shorthand for that is, if you can't handle the process, the kids are going to eat your lunch. And so I really do think that God uses the process for great good, ultimately, for the family and for the kids. But just know, going into it, anything that God has called you to, and know the spiritual warfare involved in this. Mm. You know, the Bible says the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That is what he has done in the lives of these kids. He has killed their childhood. He has destroyed their future. He has stolen what God desires for children to have. But we read on to where the scripture says that Jesus has come, however, that we would have life and have it to the full. And so just know that when you go right at that into the enemy's territory where children made in God's image have experienced abuse, neglect, and abandonment, and all that goes with it, nobody, the enemy is not happy to have those kids be loved and to understand the love of their father. And so just know all of that going in and walk it out with the Lord. Know you're going to feel scared, but do not let those fears keep a child from having a family. Take all of it to the Lord, and he will walk you through it.
The wonder of speaking straight and telling it like it is. Not pulling the cloak over anyone's eyes. It's, as Kelly describes, as well, someone like her and John, who have done it, gone through the experience and are living the experience, are saying, it's tough, tougher than you can imagine, but it's worth it. Kelly Rosati, sharing heart to heart with you. When we come back, hey, what about the church? One of the 300,000 churches in America. We've got 100,000 invisible orphans, as she says. You can do the math. The problem can be solved, but there are issues involved. If there's a church that wants to be involved, if you're a leader that wants to be involved, well, Kelly Rosati will share with us more what can be done. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
New York Times bestselling author, Mary Beth Chapman. Mary Beth Chapman says, the way God has held and directed this family through the adoption process is an inspiration to others. She's speaking about the book Wait No More, One Family's Amazing Adoption Story, by Kelly and John Rosati, a book from Focus on the Family. Kelly's joining us today. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. It's a privilege to have you join us. You can get the book at Amazon.com. Today, Kelly is talking with us about involvement, How can an individual, how can a couple, how can a family be involved? Before our break, we're also talking about churches. How can churches be involved? Find out more about Kelly and this program, this special program at iCareAboutOrphans.org. Again, iCareAboutOrphans.org. Kelly, churches, church leaders listening right now, their heart is stirred. What can a church do?
A church can do so much. The first thing I would say is, for a pastor to be able to unpack from the pulpit the heart of God for orphans and his passion and the urgency and the primacy in the scripture of our role and our response toward orphans that is reflective of his heart. Just starting there, sort of tilling that spiritual soil, I think is so important. And then the real thing that we really need to see happen, in addition to families coming forward for the kids who are waiting, is for the families that are already in churches. We have adoptive families and who have kids with special needs, and they might be invisible special needs, but they're everywhere. They're in all your churches. So many people have already answered this call, but now they are struggling, and they are suffering in a way that is often hidden and silent because it just is not turning out the way they had envisioned. And it is impossible to explain to their nice, wonderful church friends who just don't have experience in this area why their child rages for hours on end, or why they steal and lie and hoard, and why they can't just, you know, discipline them into shape, and it's all so difficult and it's so discouraging, and then they get isolated and they are ashamed, and the enemy just wants to have them like that. And so when light is brought in and their church family comes around them in love and says, you know what, our small group has decided we want to bring you meals for the next 2 weeks so you don't have to think about cooking, or why don't I do that shopping for you today? Or why don't I take maybe two of your healthy kids out so you have some one-on-one time? Or why don't I take your most challenging child out and let you have a chance to do nothing but read a book with no substance or take a bath? Mm-hmm. And those kinds of things where you really enter into somebody else's mess, and you do it in a way that is not coming in to offer advice or answers or tidy little solutions, but you're coming in with the ministry of presence and with a servant's heart to say, we want to walk this journey with you. I cannot tell you the reaction and the booing in the heart of the adoptive families that may be in your congregation right now, what that would do for them and for their child. And so it's kind of a neat thing. I think, you know, we have folks that are in small groups. If as a small group you decided to take on one particular family, so no one has the burden all to themselves, if you will, or the privilege, that can be a really, really neat thing. And we have seen families that have been so discouraged and felt so alone really renewed and recharged on this long journey to do what God has called them to do in the life of their child.
Mm. Kelly, tell us a story about a child, a child who is adopted and experiences certain feelings of knowing that they're not going to be left alone or abandoned anymore. Describe what a child feels.
Well, first, So first imagine that you're this child that has only ever known the adults in the child's life to be unsafe, dangerous people who have only ever lied and broken promise after promise. Imagine being a little kid who just wants to know that your parents are there for you, and that they're not going to leave and not come back, and maybe they're not going to be drunk or on drugs or whatever it is. And then even with that, everything they know is disrupted, and they're placed in this home where you have people telling them, well, you're safe now, and we care about you, and you're one of these kids, and you just don't trust it. Your heart longs for it, but how could you ever trust it? All you've ever trusted, every adult you've ever trusted before has been untrustworthy, and so the only person you can trust is yourself. So you're not going to make it easy on these people, and not because you're trying to be a sneaky bad kid, but it's because it has meant life and death to you. It's all you've ever known. So maybe you never had enough food. Well, you hoard food now. And so you think, well, why do you keep hoarding the food? We tell you, honey, Junior, we'll get you as much food as you need. Well, Junior can't trust you yet because it takes time and it takes faithful action, not words, for Junior to be able to develop that trust. And so think of that as the place where the child starts. And then they come into a home where there really is unconditional love, and where no matter how many times you push those buttons and you steal that food and you cuss and you rage and you do those things waiting for those people to abandon you and waiting to hear the words, they can't stay here anymore. But instead of those words coming, you just have year after year of faithful love. And all of a sudden, that trust and that security and that ability to connect starts to happen. And you start to realize as a kid, you really can trust somebody. And you really are loved. And best of all, you really are home. Mm. And home is forever. And then as that is developed and that taste is had by that child who has experienced it for real, they can imagine what it is to be home with a Heavenly Father who loves them even more than the people who they now call Mom and Dad. And that is the beauty of what we see over the long haul, oftentimes in situations where we have an adoptive family. Sometimes for kids who have been through trauma and there's just no, you just don't know. Sometimes it never happens. Sometimes things are harder than others, but that happens in all of life. You're probably thinking, yeah, I know a lot of people with birth kids that have had those same situations.
Exactly.
There's no promise or no guarantee. All we know to do, right, is to love God and love people that He puts in front of us, even when it's really, really hard.
So clear, Kelly. So clear, yes, vivid, and full of grace. Kelly Rosati, thank you so much for sharing your heart with us today. We feel it. We sense it. You've been so gracious. Thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Dear one, we hope that indeed you have been moved by the sharing, the story of Kelly Rosati. You can find out more at iCareAboutOrphans.org. You know, there's no better time than right now, as we typically say, to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And you know what? If you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video for you there. If you'd like to help us with your financial support, make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. James 1:27 says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans in their distress. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Kelly Rosati. You can find out more at iCareAboutOrphans.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you.
The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.